Like there's a real buzz about Christmas. I don't know if it's just this year or every year, or it's getting more and more exciting. Maybe we just are crying out for something, you know, positive in our world, and Christmas is a good thing to experience as a positive vibe. I feel like we get excited about Christmas. We can't help it. There is something of an infectious spirit in the air about Christmas and around Christmas time. As we do the shopping at Coles, we hear the cheerful Christmas songs. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. We're surrounded by decorations and colour and tinsel. This is my Christmas shirt. It's the only thing I have that has any red in it or anything colourful, I think. So I wear it at Christmas, you know. There you go. But why red? I mean, why is red even the Christmas colour? Who knows? Well, this Christmas, I have three questions for us, three questions for you. What do you get excited about at Christmas time? What makes it merry for you? Just having some time off work is good, isn't it? Having a break or work time off study, that's good. Maybe it's the food, the family time, the presents, the decorations. Maybe it's walking around and seeing all the houses lit up with thousands of lights. Isn't that incredible? Some of those streets where those houses are just, you know, out of control. Maybe you're thankful this Christmas that you don't have to pay the electricity bill for some of those houses. But we do get caught up in the hype and the hope of Christmas. But what is the reason for this sense of excitement and joy and hope? It seems to me to be disconnected from anything real. For most people, the only reason is the date, that it's December, that it's Christmas. It's almost like we build up this hype and fabricate some sense of joy and hope and excitement. The shops certainly do, because it's time to spend, spend, spend. But has anything really changed in our lives? Our lives still go on. We still struggle with the same issues and problems. Our world is still a world that is broken, and there are still wars happening in our world. What is the real sense of joy and hope behind Christmas? When I was younger, I went to Universal Studios in California, in Hollywood, and you get to see how they make movies. And I remember one part was a movie set, and it was a Western town, and it was a whole street, and all the buildings, you know, the saloon and the sheriff and the jail and all the shops. But it wasn't, they weren't real buildings. They were just a front. It was just one wall at the front and nothing behind. It was just a veneer, an exterior, but no substance, nothing real. And Christmas can be a bit like that when we're disconnected from the real reason for Christmas. But when we connect to the real reason for Christmas, we find real hope. We find real joy. We find real excitement. And the real reason for Christmas is found in our Bibles. It's found in the Word of God. It's found in the message of good news. It's found in the passage that we had read today for us. It's found in the birth of Jesus, the Savior, and Christ the Lord. When we connect to this real event in history and understand the significance of it, we can't help but be filled with hope and joy. Because this is a real event, a real baby, a real God, a real Saviour, and that equals real hope and joy. Now, Luke wrote this good news message about Jesus. Luke was a doctor, but also an historian. He took it very seriously, and he researched his material for this message. So even in the first words of his book, Luke chapter 1, he tells us that he carefully investigated the things that happened, that you may know the certainty of these things. And then in chapter 2, as we had read, we have this historical detail. The emperor was Augustus. The governor was Quirinius. There was a census. There was a young couple, Joseph and Mary. There was a baby born in a stable. Real historical events. And there was a real announcement. It's announced in a most amazing and unlikely way. In verse 10 of our passage, the angel appears to the shepherds out in the field. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." You see, here is the reason for joy and for hope, the birth of Jesus the Saviour. It's a humble birth in humble circumstances, even more humble when you consider that the God of the universe is being born as a human being. You would think that would create something of a fuss, but no. The eternal God becomes a human being as a baby. The creator God, who is beyond time and space, enters into time and space. And he does so for us, that we might have real joy and hope. Because you see, this is a rescue mission. Jesus is described as a saviour. The angel says, "Today a saviour has been born to you." God is not just showing off. He's not just saying, "Look what I can do." No, there's a reason for this. Jesus has come, Saviour and Lord. And he came to save us from this mess that we're in. He came to save us from our own mess, of our own lives, from our own shame, from our own sins. He came as a baby, but with the purpose of dying on the cross as a saviour to bring us to God if we put our trust in him. He came and promises us forgiveness, eternal life, and a relationship with the living God. Well, that's a real reason for joy and real hope. That's something to be excited about, isn't it? That's good news of great joy. So this is no shallow celebration. This is not just exterior veneer. The angel points the shepherds to Jesus. He points us to Jesus for real joy and hope. What are you excited about this Christmas? I hope that it's Jesus. My second question is this: what do you fear? What do you fear? When the angel appeared to the shepherds, they were afraid. In fact, they were terrified. They were confronted with something beyond their understanding and beyond their control. They were overwhelmed by the glory of God. But the angel tells them, "Do not be afraid," and points them to Jesus. What do you fear? Are you afraid of the things in this world that you don't understand? Are you afraid of the things that are beyond your control? Are you afraid of the future and what it might bring or might not bring? Perhaps it is fear that you will not achieve the things that you have set for yourself. Perhaps ultimately it's a fear of death. Perhaps a fear of God and his anger and judgment, either now or in the future. Well, there can be many things to fear when we put our minds to it, isn't there? The angel tells the shepherds, "Do not fear." Verse 10 again, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. They were afraid, but the angel directs them to Jesus. So also for our fears, come to Jesus. Jesus is the answer to all our fears. When we put our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, the Bible says, "Of whom shall I be afraid? If God is for me, who can be against me?" In the book of Romans, it goes on, "Who can separate us from the love of God in Christ?" Nothing. Nothing can separate us from God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even death. What a promise that Jesus is always with us and that Jesus has overcome even death when he walked out of the tomb, when he rose from the dead, when, as one of the songs we sang, he swallowed death. Wow, that's an image, isn't it? Jesus can make and keep that promise to us. Jesus is the one who can take away our fears when we have a relationship with him. Come to Jesus. I'll put one more question out there. What will you do differently this Christmas? What will be different for you this Christmas? I love the response of the shepherds in this passage in Luke 2. Let's see verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. You see, they responded to what the Lord had told them, and they went. No, they hurried to see Jesus, to see this sign. They didn't go back to their conversations. They just didn't go back to sleep. They didn't just go back to their life as it was. They left their sheep and they hurried to see Jesus. For them, there was nothing more important at that time than to hear the word of the Lord and to respond and to go to Jesus. The Lord told them and they responded. They knew that this was the most important thing to do. This was urgent. Friends, there is nothing more important in life, nothing more urgent than to come to Jesus, to come to the Saviour and put your trust in him. The Lord told the shepherds what to do and they did it. He tells us also, come to Jesus. And if that's not something that you have done before, then hurry. It's urgent. Do it today. Let Christmas 2024 be the day that you come to the Saviour. And I would love to talk to you more if that's you and you want to come to Jesus today. Come and see me first. Then the shepherds did something else, verse 17. When they had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You see, this is such good news that they could not keep it to themselves. The hype is nice. Let's enjoy the fun of Christmas and all the excitement and the good things. But let's share the real hope, not just the hype. My prayer for us as a church this coming year is that we will be a church that shares this good news of great joy to our friends, to our neighbours, to our community, and to a lost and broken world that desperately needs this good news. And finally, the shepherds did one more thing. Verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Their lives were changed. They praised God. And I think they kept doing that for the rest of their lives. The first Christmas changed everything for them. Well, let us live our lives that praise God. What will be different for you this Christmas? Will it be that you come to Jesus? Will it be that you share this good news with someone else? Will it be that you keep on praising and glorifying God? What will be different for you this Christmas? Will it be something that is real? Real joy, real hope. As the angel pointed the shepherds to Jesus, God is pointing us to Jesus. There is hope and joy. And with Jesus, we overcome all our fears. Come to Jesus, share Jesus, praise Jesus. I wonder what is your favourite Christmas movie? That's a thing now, isn't it? Christmas movies, right? So I think some of the most popular Christmas movies are Love Actually. That comes around every Christmas, doesn't it? Die Hard. I'm sure there are some Die Hard fans out there at Christmas time. Changing pace a little bit, Elf. Right? And then there's another movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Let's have a little vote. Who votes for Love Actually? Yeah, a few, okay. Who votes for Die Hard? a few of us. Who votes for Elf? Yeah, I'm sure the kids will be voting for Elf. Who votes for It's a Wonderful Life? All right, some of you may not have even heard of this movie, but it is one of the greatest movies of all time. One of the greatest movies of all time, and always one of the top movies at Christmas. It was made in 1946, and the story of George Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart. That's how he talked. Jimmy Stewart. George Bailey is a character who sacrifices everything for the good of his family and for the good of his community. And that's the kind of life he lives. But everything goes wrong at one point around Christmas time. Things get out of control. And he becomes in financial peril. And he could lose everything. And he could even go to jail. And as he contemplates this, he contemplates suicide. And as he's on the bridge, an angel comes to him, just like to the shepherds. And the angels come to him with a different perspective. And the angel shows George, it's a bit like a Christmas Carol, right? Or Scrooge, you know, that kind of a story. It's a bit of a take on that kind of story. Because the angel shows George a different perspective. He shows George what would have happened if he had not been born. He shows him an alternate reality, and it's a horror show. All the people that he helped are either dead or in desperate situations. The town itself has become a place of rampant evil and selfishness. And so when this is revealed to George, he decides he has to go on with his life, no matter how hard it's going to be and what he has to face. And so it turns out, as he returns to his home and his family, that the whole town has rallied together to help him out and to turn things around. And the movie ends with a wonderful, positive note of joy. And everybody cries at the end of the movie, right? Starting to cry now. What if George Bailey had not been born? Well, what if Jesus had not been born? What would that alternate reality look like? You see, we wouldn't be here because there'd be no Christmas. We wouldn't be here because there'd be no church. And there wouldn't be any joy or hope in the world. We would have to live in this broken world, in this darkness, without light, without the hope that Jesus brings. We would have to live with our fears and no way to overcome them. But God has turned things around, all because a baby was born in Bethlehem. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray a prayer for those who maybe do want to come to Jesus this morning and put your trust and faith in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. Why not? Christmas Day 2024. I'm going to pray a prayer, and you might, in your heart, want to pray this prayer with me, if that's you. So let's pray together. God, this Christmas, we come to Jesus. Lord, we come to real hope and joy. Lord, we surrender our lives to Him. And for those who want to do that now, I pray this prayer. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you sent Jesus as Saviour and Lord. Thank you that He died for me on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin and rebellion and shame. Thank you that I am forgiven and have eternal life. Thank you for real peace, hope, and joy in Jesus. And thank you for your Spirit that will help me to continue to live for Him and praise Him all my life. And Lord, for all of us, I pray that you would help us to continue to come to Jesus, to share Jesus, and to praise Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, an appropriate hymn to finish. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Come, let us adore him.